really updated. Let's see here. Essential quality paper. Yeah. Gotcha. I'm just looking at them too. I'm just printing them. I found them.
Ron Bauer, 3-1.
Ronnie, 3. Tyrod, Charles. Yeah, there's not real big odds here. There's like, what, the top 5 horses are under 10-1.
All right, I finally got Rebel. These pulled up.
All right. There's the Rebel. All right.
You guys ready to talk horses here?
Yeah, horses.
All right, well, let's do it. All right, so Derby, Bill Watson, Nick Hahn, we're going to start by talking Pimlico late pick 5. Doing this because there is $115,038 carryover in the late pick 5. It is not a jackpot wager, so if anybody hits 5 of 5, it will pay out. This is a 2-day carryover we're looking at here and expecting to get, you know, probably multiple hundreds of thousands of additional dollars into the pool on Friday. So could be a lot of money in this pool. And it, again, it will pay out if anybody hits 5 of 5. And if a million people hit 5 of 5, it all pays out. So not a jackpot. There's also, if you're inclined, a $700,000 carryover in the jackpot pick 6 at Pimlico. So if you see an opportunity and want to add another couple of horses in the 6th race, you can. But doing this one because it's not a jackpot. Starts in race 5. Which is a 16,000 never win 2 claiming race, going 5/8 of a mile on the turf. If we're on the turf. Derby Bill, what do you got to tell me here about the about this pick 5 and about this 5th race?
Well, interesting. I looked it up Sunday's pick 5 just a comparison, and it paid 4 out of 5 Sunday. Does this still pay 4 out of 5?
Well, so if it's 4 out of 5, it will pay out part of the pool to everybody who got 4, and then carry over the rest. So it will pay out completely if people get 5.
Yeah, I read the conditions. It's like a 75-25. Good thing is it's 12% takeout, so it's a good bet.
Yeah, it's low takeout. And like to get the carryover Sunday, the first leg of the pick 5, the winning horse paid $100. And the last leg, the horse paid 26 or 28 and some other stuff in the middle. So you had to have your handicapping shoes on to get that.
I can do
so
that.
Bill,
I've got
what can you tell me?
I've got my handicapping shoes on. I'm barefoot.
You know what, Nick? You got anything for that? You got any response to that?
For shoes?
Uh-huh.
I'm just glad I'm not in the room with them at the moment.
Hey, some people handicap better with what do you call them, shoes with the holes in them?
The Crocs.
Yeah, the Crocs, the famous Crocs.
This would be like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where John Candy and Steve Martin are driving in a car, and Candy takes his shoes off. I bet you those dogs will be barking right now.
Oh, yeah. I need to be barking to hit a pick 5. I need to rub my shoes together, rub my feet together, rub hands together and everything to hit this thing. Grass race opener here. Solid, but not great first. Thing I do like is Clover Hill Racing. If you don't know Mr. Vespi, I went to Clover Hill High School, and
I did not know
we won a state championship way back in baseball, which doesn't correlate to horse racing. My bookie wouldn't take my state championship in high school and bet on it. So Clover Hill Racing is near and dear to my heart, and they have a horse in this race, I believe, the 10. Make it a double, and that also correlates to my other specialty, bourbon. So, you know, melt some ice with a double. Make it a double, and he's 5-1. So I like him dropping in class. I think it's Linda Albert's horse. My eyes don't deceive me here.
That's true.
And against the top two are, you know, the favorites in this race, so you if you're doing a pick five, you don't want to be out the first leg, and you don't want to single a 5-1. You can use the two favorites, which is the two Aspel, probably 3-1, the second favorite. But he's never been on turf. So he pulls it off on – if they pull it off on turf because of Mother Nature or something, this one has an even better chance here to run. And the favorite will be, Cindy Prayer, probably 9-5 or less. I can't read my own writing there. Off,
yep, 9-5 morning line.
Yeah, real class level, has speed to burn, but just no value here. The good thing is it's a 5-month layoff, but you might be using this as, you know, first trip back and might need a trip. So that's, I'm going to value wise there on top, make it a double at 5-1, you know, on top. But if you're playing a pick five and you have deep pockets like Mr. Hahn, you could use all three of them, 10, 2, and 3 to, in the opener.
Derby Bill going with two horses that have not run on turf, make it a double, first turf try, and Aspel, first turf try.
Five furlongs on turf, 14 horses that ran all over the country, came to Colonial Downs the first night I handicapped live on the air, and I'm experienced now.
Yeah, the field you used to see, a Colonial, 14 horses from all over the place. You got some practice doing this.
Yeah, they've never been on the turf at Colonial. They've never been to Colonial the first couple years. Oh, it was crazy. It was fun, but it was crazy. The tote board never ran out of changing light bulbs the first couple years there.
I believe that. Nick Conway, what about you? What are you, you with Bill on this?
In some ways, yes. It's going to be tricky. It's something where you're going to have to keep an eye on the weather forecast and the condition. This one being on the turf, you have to be cognizant before you lay it down what the conditions are and who the scratches are. And rain, it's why most handicappers don't like it, because it makes you make 11th-hour adjustments, switching from turf to dirt. How much rain do we get? What's the track condition? Those are all things you have to consider before you lay the ticket down. I actually, Derby Bill sent me these PPs earlier in the day, so I was going through them. They didn't have the odds, which is actually the way I prefer to handicap. But in my notes, I landed on, as you might expect, a 9-5 favorite. Kind of just wrote a column here, you know, one dirt, one turf. And so if this stays on the turf, I'm pretty confident about Cindy's Prayer here, Michael Sanchez, who won a race opening day at Delaware today. And this is a horse that has been everywhere, like Derby Bill just mentioned. Remington, the fairgrounds, seems to wander around the southeast a little bit. Even Louisiana Downs, where our good friend K9 Kenny apparently spent the day, or at least a portion of the early week, down there in Shreveport, where I think he is. But yeah, Cindy's Prayer is who I landed on. Last start on a good turf condition back at the fairgrounds was a winning one. Came back and ran on a similar condition at Remington, and higher company, and didn't fare so well. So coming out of the allowance ranks into the claiming ranks here off the layoff, I kind of like Cindy's Prayer in this spot. I also went with, now I don't have the odds, so you may have to sort of follow this up with me. I kind of like this Rain Secret, who I thought might be at a decent price. So this is a horse that won on the slop at Pimlico back in May, just in the maiden claiming race. So a little bit of a jump up here, but with Victor Carrasco aboard, I think this is one you have to consider. I'm interested in Arcading Girl at MTO. Should this race switch to the dirt, and gets Sheldon Russell. So that's the first one in my off turf column. And then Make It a Double, like Derby Bill said, was the other one I wrote down with Linda Albert. If this race comes off the turf, I think the chances of this horse winning goes up and up. So I'm not going to play all four in the front leg. I'll probably try and dwindle it down to two. The scratches may take care of that for me anyway, be careful of all the AEs because there are five of them that are possibly going to enter this field off the AE list. So interesting first race to kick off the pick five.
Yeah, it's a pretty wide open one. That your 11 horse Rain Secret is 12-1 morning line. Interesting thing there, first time on the turf, a little bit of turf in the family, you know, may move up on that. And an angle I like about that horse is Mike Trombetta had the horse. Horse was claimed away. He claims it back. And I always like to see a claim back because I feel like it's the trainer is saying this horse is sound. This horse has something that maybe I can get out of it still. So those seem like positive things to me.
Yeah, the Trombetta, of course, is a very competent trainer, so he knows what he's looking at.
All right, moving on to the sixth race, the second race of the Pick 5 sequence. It is $40,000 maiden claim and going 6 furlongs on the main track at Pimlico. Field of 10, big, bulky field of 10 on the dirt there. The maiden 40 condition is also a waiver claiming condition. If you're a Maryland bred, you can run without being exposed to being claimed here. Morning line favorite in this one, Graham Motion, Wicked Hot. Ran a big one on debut, rallying to be second in a race really compromised by the pace. That's 5-horse Wicked Hot, 2-1. Could be tough in this spot, Nick Hahn.
Yeah, you know, in a race like this, you like to see, especially if it comes up with any sort of weather, you like to have a little bit more experience. First timers, you know, running in the slop, you know, I kind of have my doubts about. So looking for a little bit more experience here. I'm going to try and beat this horse, try and get a little older, actually. This I landed on Pounding Music here, Linda Albert again, but this is a horse that they've tried to put on the turf, but the first two starts at Laurel last fall ended up getting pulled from the turf when this filly actually did find the turf. Not really all that impressive, so I'm going to go back to the dirt here and, you know, it's trying to look for a little bit more experience, a little bit more race history here. You know, just finished second, got a second, third, and fourth in for three starts here. It's by Hangover Kid, so, you know, a little bit of a appeal there maybe, going back to my youth. But the I landed there on Pounding Music. I did like one of these first-time starters, again, for Trombetta. Maybe if the weather's a little bit better, I just kind of like the way the horse has been working out. Tidal Waters with Victor Carrasco again has been working out really well at Fairhill and is, I think, the better of the Trombettas in this race. So those are the two I'm probably focusing on in that second leg.
Both of the Trombettas are 6-1. That's also 3 Tidal Waters and 4 Originalists. The 6-horse Nick's Pounding Music, 15-1. Derby Bill, what say you?
Yeah, I like that 15-1 number. So let me go dip down even further to a horse called number 9, Matula. Matula, yeah, 3-year-old filly, also 15-1 early line. So that will change. Hopefully, it might even go up, but the horse is adding blinkers. A lot of first-time starters in this one. This one's a second time out. I think he had a stinker of a first last race. He really had a stinker, so it's a bounce-back race, and he's the blinker should help here. The number 9, Wicked Hot, you mentioned. You have to add him in your pick 5 if you're going to 50-cent level. You can add this one in with Motion. I mean, he's just he's a rip snorter. You like that word, rip snorter?
Rip snorter.
First out of the gate, just like a bull, just goes for it. I mean, almost like a horse that won the Kentucky Derby. This one could wire the field. He's that wicked, and he's Might be that hot in Pimlico Friday, that time of day. Hopefully not. Number one, no chance given. I'm giving him a chance. He's disappointed and been a low price in almost three of his races. People really lost some money on this horse. So I feel sorry for him, and I'm going to give him a chance. I like that. He's stolen a lot of money from handicappers, so I'm going to try to get it back. So I'm gonna use all three in that one, the big bomb, long shot, and for security purposes, the five, wicked hot, and then the one. So me and Nick both have 15 to ones in here. So if we're still alive after the second leg with one of the 15 to ones, you might get a text.
Another horse I just call attention to is the two-horse Calengian for Brittany Russell. Sheldon Russell, her husband, is up. Brittany is 5-for-21, first time out in maiden claiming company. This is the third foal out of a four-time winner, making her debut a Munnings filly. So certainly some things that are at least worth looking at there with the two-horse. Talking it, Bill, to your horse Matula, I like this horse a little bit. The nine horse is 15-1. Went back and watched that debut race. She had a bug boy up. Really kind of an indecisive ride, kind of a hurry up and wait ride, like rush up into the spot. Whoops, gotta put on the brakes. Now rush again. Now stop. And horse, you know, it was a lot to ask first time out. Horse actually ran on pretty well. Didn't miss second by a lot. There was a runaway winner that came back next out and went up to the Flakes, to Finger Lakes, and won an allowance race up there by a pole. And so I think that was a kind of a sneaky good effort. If you get 15-1, you've got to give some love to that horse. So I like that pick a little bit.
Certainly from a nice farm. And so O'Calumet Farm. So you know he's been well taken care of by Mr. Claris and Sedana up on that horse. I really think you got a shot, like Nick's. Nick's taking a shot at the 15-1, and so are we. We're gonna set up the IRS, being as we've just finished doing taxes for last year. I'm looking for tax form here on this pick five.
That's it. I like it. I like the attitude. All right, it's an Off to the Races podcast here, talking about the Pimlico late pick five. Frank Vespi here with Derby Bill Watts and Nick Hahn. On to the third leg. Race 7, 5,000 beaten claimers here, going 3/4 of a mile, 6 furlongs on the main track, and field of 7 going to be teed up in this one. And if you think a lot of these horses look exactly like the other horses, you are, in fact, exactly correct. These horses all ran a 48 buyer in their last start, more or less. So, Derby Bill, let's dive in. What you got?
Oh yeah, this is the level of miracles. The $5,000 horse that wins the Kentucky Derby, not in this race, but it is a $5,000 claimer. And if Nick put the wrong numbers in his IRS form, he could probably buy this horse or any horse in this race. We have reached the level of degeneracy in this race. I like Number Blue Sky Venezuela. He's shipping the Florida bred. It's only 7-2. I did just see the odds. 7-2. But Pimlico, the last 10 days, I did do my homework. 46% favorites are winning. So you can't toss the favorites like you could in the past. And 55% are winning on the dirt. I mean, that is astronomical figures, but, I had a nice card last week that boosted up a lot of favorites here. Blue Sky Venezuela, I think he might enjoy it if it rains a little bit. He's five races, and he's first twice and second twice. He's fully capable of running in the exacto or winning to me, and I'm using the 7 also in this race. What's that? 4-1. Family Fortune here. certainly not named after my family, but family fortune, just a solid horse. Two of the last three at Pimlico were wins, and very dangerous here, even though he's moving up. He can't move up to a $5,000 level, but I mean, he's very dangerous when you win two races and you still have this claiming price of $5,000. Number two should be the chalk here, and that's off of, but he's off a big, huge layoff here, and I'm gonna try to throw him out and use the 5 and the 7 and see if we can boost this thing up and call Mr. IRS.
Derby Bill, all right, trying to beat the chalk there with the 5 and the 7. One other point on the 5, loves the 6 furlong trip, 9 for 11 in the money, 3 wins. So certainly going to feel right at home doing this. Nick, what you got here in the 7th?
Yeah, just quickly back to the 6th. Matula, that's a horse coming out of Aqueduct. There was a time where horses out of New York just used to rule in Maryland. And so maybe just another angle on that Derby Bill long shot there in the previous race. But I landed on the same two horses in the 7th here. I got Blue Sky Venezuela as well. Jockey switched to Sheldon Rule, almost like the same angle that you were talking about with that Matula. I think that's nothing but good news for trainer Michael Gorham. And it just started pouring here in Charlottesville, so maybe an omen that this will be on the wet condition up there. And you know, like Derby Bill said, 2 wins, 2 seconds, and 5 starts for this horse. So certainly knows, got plenty of experience as a 5-year-old. This will be his 31st start. You know, not a bad outing back on April 22nd at Pimlico, the first start for this horse at Pimlico. So maybe an opportunity to move forward off that performance. And then, you know, similar situation with Family Fortune in the sense that, you know, 5-year-old with a little bit of experience. Grant Whitaker delivered a win at Pimlico. That's Pimlico, yeah, at Pimlico, 2 for 3 at Pimlico. So something to maybe look for there. There's plenty to like about these two horses, and actually some concurrence with Derbyville.
How about that? So no love for the two-horse. Patient Lass, who's 5-2 morning line, had been running against Better Than These and gets a jockey switch to Forest Boyce, pretty accomplished journeyman jock. One question here is this horse has been off since December, so that should be a little interesting. Also interesting, Mike Giralis, who's based at Laurel, had been working this one on the Laurel turf rather than shipping to Pimlico to work, which costs you a little bit of money. You got to actually pay to work on the turf. So curious to see that. Nick, I'm just curious, what was your thought process on tossing the favorite in here?
Just had slipped down to the 8th race here. Hold on.
He's rustier than your car, Nick. He's been off since December.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, this the off-weather condition maybe not as favorable for this horse, and neither, you know, maybe the distance either. And I just kind of a little bit older horse, maybe a little past prime. Even though, you know, out-finished Blue Sky Venezuela back in her last start, so maybe something to consider, but... why was this horse off for so long? I'm just going to try and find a little bit more value there and trust the jot.
All right, good enough. Let's move on to the 8th race. Featured 8th, allowance optional claiming for 3-year-olds that have never won a race other than with an optional claiming price of $62,500. Nice field here. They've got Palatial Times, who really ran a surprisingly credible race at 62-1 in the Grade 3 Chick Lang, And he's 9-2 on the morning line here because he got Crino Moore, who just ran an 88 buyer and winning an allowance at Pimlico, and Airport, who ran an 80 buyer and winning an allowance at Pimlico and beating Crino Moore in his last start. So those two certainly look pretty strong in here. You also got Exculpatory, kind of a fun horse, who just had kind of a disastrous trip and still got up to win on debut, then did not fire next time out. So, Bill, let's start with you. Who do you like in here?
Yeah, being the feature of the race of the day, a lot of people might use the all button in the pick five sequence here, because the field is, you know, a little bit more level-headed, and past performances are pretty solid. 42,000 crab cakes on the line here. So definitely intriguing. The one you said was 62-1 in the Chick Lang Stakes, and definitely showed some class getting into the race. Didn't show much class in the race to me. So I'm dangerous at 9-2. And yeah, I don't think you can probably toss him out if you're trying to finish off that late pick five with this race. I studied all five of these. Obviously, six went horse by horse. Airport is the favorite, 9-5. It's dangerous. Early top pick. He had a big win at Pimlico, and I couldn't find too much to say bad about that horse. Number three, Exclumpery, sounds like something I had done with my knee, so don't like the name too much. Do like 12-1. The Heckle and Clyde horse. This horse leaves him
shaking Jekyll the and
head. Hyde. Yeah, Jekyll, Hyde, Clyde, all them people. 12-1. You liked that, didn't you? You got a lot of things on top of this neck. When you're a size 24 neck, you got a lot up there. Not all good either.
All those people. 12-1.
12-1, I like, as you said. He just runs. He runs moody, man. He wins a race and he loses a race. I mean, I just hope he's on at 12-1, and if you use him, you get a lot of value in this horse if he's on. Cry No More, the four horse, is the other favorite. He'll try to be a Medina spirit and just go for it. I mean, like gangbusters, it runs like he's late for supper. I mean, this one is fast out of the gate. And he's disposed some lower levels. And at lower level horses in his last race, and then he plays like triple A ball a couple races though, so he's beatable. So still continuing to look there. It's sizzling time, obviously. Is a steak connoisseur. I love the name. And 8-1, he earned a step up with his last race here, and I think he's got a chance. The only one I couldn't find a place to put him in the starting gate was the number six, just subject to the X-Man factor here with looking to get a long shot home here. I just, you know, Mr. Rob, obviously a respected trainer up in the bullpen at Charlestown, and he's Maryland bred, so I know you might like him better than me, but I think you almost have to use all the first five here if you have enough money in your pocket.
Going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I like it. I like it. That almost guarantees the six wins, of course. But
that would be the X factor with Xavier Perez,
who's creeping up on 1,000 wins, by the way. 995 in the bank.
He rides hard. I'll give him that.
Yep. All right, Nick, what about you? You going five deep here?
No, I'm pretty solid on Airport here. I think if you draw a line through the stakes races and his past performances, this horse looks really impressive. No Sense is not in this race. This seems to be one of the few horses that can beat Airport. So if you look at the trainer, 4-7 so far at Pimlico, 57% win percentage, has a win over the muddy condition at Pimlico in his last start, has wins over like Cry No More. So I'm really kind of solid on this horse here, as solid as you can be. And really, just like Derby Bill was kind of saying, or, you know, why the six? I think if there's an alternative pick, it might be the six. A pretty impressive performance at Charlestown. You know, win, the pretty impressive win was driving, was clear, even in the wide part of the racetrack there. So I kind of like Subject to Change here. I have him second in this field. But where Derby Bill might be going five deep in this race, this might be the one I single. I mean, look at how well this horse has been working at Delaware Park. Even at Pimlico, before that last win, had a you know, breezed in 59 and 4/5. Kind of a similar performance at Delaware here just a few days ago on May 22nd. So six horse field in a pick five where you're dealing with a lot of claimers, this might be an opportunity to single.
Well, this, the other thing about this horse, two other things, I think. One is I think the race may well set up for him. Cry No More's got a lot of early zip, figures to be looking towards the front. It's sizzling time. The five horse has been in first at every first call of his first five races and in first at the second call in four of them. So he's going to be going. If those two hook up, who's going to be running late? Well, several of these may be, and Airport looks to probably be the best of the ones who are going to be running late. The other thing I think it's worth noting here is this horse took a big step up last time. His top buyer had been a 69 prior to last race, got an 80 last time. What changed? Well, one of the things that changed is they put blinkers on him for the first time, and he seemed to like that just fine. So I think Airport certainly is – the horse you got to beat in this spot, even though Cry No More, 7/5 morning line favorite. That gets us to the final race of the pick five sequence here, Derby Bill and Nick Hahn. It's the ninth race, a $12,500 claimer going a mile on the green stuff, if we remain on the green stuff. And this is another one, a lot of ways to go here. Even if there is an 8/5 morning line favorite, you could certainly make a case for some of the others in here. Assuming we stay on the grass, Nick, where are you going to go?
Oh boy, I think I'm on. I'm really going to be watching an AE horse, Rohrbacher, a hard spun horse who is 3/6 on the turf, hard spun, Hugh McMahon. You know, I think this, I'm hoping that this horse gets in regardless of the condition, can also run on the wet. So shows a lot of versatility. And I think versatility, especially if you're dealing with any question marks in terms of forecast, can really kind of move a horse up. So I'm if Rohrbacher gets in, it might not be Rambauer, but it might be a similar type of performance. A little inquisitive of the Sarah Nagel horse, Black Prong, who is, you know, similar sort of, you know, has a win on the wet turf. I hadn't really been on the dirt that much, but I think this is a horse that's a little maybe an opportunity here, Virginia Bred. And I think this horse actually works out a little bit at Braeburn here, just south of Charlottesville. So it was a little bit of a veteran horse. Ran at Colonial Downs back in 2019. You know, got beat by Katie's Catbird. Many people might remember that race from that meet. I think Tappahannock might be a little bit of the now horse in this field, coming with Sedano again. I think an opportunity there. This is a race where I would spread. I just don't know which horses to spread across, But we just saw Elementary run up at Pimlico over Preakness weekend, and that was a kind of a, you know, so maybe an opportunity to you know, pass on a few horses like that. So, I'm going to go probably 3-4 deep here, and it all kind of depends on the condition.
Just for folks following here, Rohrabacher, next sort of top choice is the 15 in here, is going to need two horses to scratch out to get into the race. Or if the race comes off the turf, then I'm sure they'll have plenty of opportunity to get in. So, all right. So you like the 15, you like the 3 a little, and the 7 a little. Is that about cover it?
Yep, and in the pick 5, I could find, you know, depending on how it shakes down, I might have 4 or 5 horses in this group. I think this is one you spread on because there's just so many questions about how the race comes up and how these horses, you know, the condition of the race just kind of presents a lot of variables here. I think you have, you know, a $12,500 claiming race. You know, down to 10, I think that it just there's just too many variables in this. You got to spread.
What about you,
Darby? On some of these races. Yeah, go ahead.
Darby Bill.
Hey, back to me.
Hey,
sorry,
back
I was
to you.
Nodding off there for a second. I thought Nick said he was betting Rumbauer in this race. He said Rumbacher, so he probably, it threw me off. I had to look. He's also eligible here. So I had a little elderberry on my pick because I'm bored here. Gearhead, number 12, solid 8-5. Mike from Betta, the best training name in the business, no bar nobody. Anybody that has Bet in their name is the best trainer for a degenerate. I love this horse, Gearhead. I actually changed my own oil when I was young, so I'm part Gearhead. The spark plugs in this one just adds up to a single here. That's why I went so deep in the other race. What was it, the 5 deep? I'm just totally opposite thought pattern as Nick. The big race here, and one horse stands above all the other fluttering horses, and it's Gearhead. Unless you said, like, also I'll get in. I did like his horse, Rubacher, and Projected, if they get in the field. But I kicked them out because it said also eligible, so. I'm a single to Gearhead here, and I'm hoping that the other horses beforehand are all 15-1 so I can sign the RS form with Gearhead.
Gearhead 8-5 morning line for Trombetta, Julian Pimentel up this one. 1-16, 3 back at Tampa, and a couple of pretty good tries actually for 25, now dropping in for 12-5. So maybe a bit of a class advantage over several of these. All right, so let's any final thoughts, Bill, on the pick 5?
No, it looks like it should produce, you know, at least $1,000 payoff, possibly if the, you know, with the carryover and the added money that comes in Friday on this. This could be, you know, even if a single hits in Nick's race or my race. I mean, I still think it pays almost $1,000. What do you think?
Oh, it's going to pay. I think it's going to pay. There's a lot of free money floating around that pool coming into Friday's races. What about you, Nick? Any final thoughts on the pick 5?
Yeah, I would find a spot to get wide. I'd find maybe a spot or two. I think you need to single. I really like the opportunity with Airport there in singling, and maybe early on if you can sneak by maybe with Cindy's Prayer with that 5th race, then you can kind of get wide on the rest of it. And I think you're going to need that help. So hopefully you end up singling the right races. You just can't bet them all. So it'll be fun. Hopefully the weather, whatever the weather is, hopefully if it's wet, hopefully we'll know early. And if it passes and we get good weather, we'll know that early too. Pay attention on Friday morning.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. So that's Friday afternoon's racing, and Friday evening, let's talk briefly about the Grade 2 Penn Mile making its return to the calendar after a hiatus in 2020. Purse has been chopped down to $300,000. Still plenty of coin here. Three-year-olds going 1 mile on the grass. It's obviously a perfect spot to get yourself ready to go a little bit longer in the Virginia Derby a couple months later. And a field of seven is expected to face the starter if they manage to stay on the turf. You got an 8-5 warning line favorite. That's out of door for Wesley Ward. This horse was third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. And then you also have a 9-5. That's Annex for Bill Mott. This horse won his first three starts, two of them in Stakes Company, then pretty much got his head kicked in the Grade 2 American Turf on Kentucky Derby Day as the favorite. So let's start with Nick Hahn here. Nick, Penn Mile, what you got?
One interesting take here is Sheldon Russell's in this race, and we talked about him at Pimlico. So just kind of doing a quick look up here, it looks like he's leaving after the sixth race at Pimlico to head up to Grantville, just northeast of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And he's going to be on a 10-1 shot. Is it Syllabus or Sylvia? You try and pronounce
Sibelius.
It. I can't. Sibelius. So just kind of an interesting Friday. He could be driving through a lot of rain, whether on horse or in a car on Friday. But Gershwin is probably a horse trained by Michael Stidham with any decent performance. I would not be surprised to see that horse show up in the Virginia Derby because, of course, Stidham will be stabled here. But I do like the Wesley Ward horse. Solid favorite here with Irad Ortiz coming in. It's always great when these prolific jockeys, John Velasquez, Kendrick Carmouche, Joe Bravo, coming into Pennsylvania maybe for other purposes. But Irad Ortiz, when these jocks come in to ride at these tracks, they get a great reception. It's an opportunity for the locals to see a lot of jockeys that run in the Triple Crown. But my pick in this race is going to be, unfortunately, I didn't land on the favorite here. I just like Out of Door.
Well, we won't call you a chalk-eating weasel, but we'll think it. Right, Bill?
No problem. I've been called chalk-eating a lot worse than weasel before in my time. I think I called Baffert a weasel after on this radio show a couple weeks ago. I mean, if the shoe fits and it's size 16, I'll take it.
So.
Avador, Wesley Ward, we love him. He brings the horses too down here at Colonial. He dances with the Queen and Royal Ascot. I mean, the guy's got some flair and some Baffert-like toot. I mean, but hopefully he doesn't use the lidocaine like Derby Bill does and Baffert does. Wesley Ward, just well-respected with young horses, always. Two-year-olds, three-year-olds. He's just the king of two-year-olds, where Baffert's the king of, well, the prince. Maybe not even the prince anymore of three-year-olds. But Wesley Ward's definitely the king of two-year-olds, and the queen has blessed him with that title. And so am I, and I'm King William. I drove through King William yesterday, so I'm anointing myself King William for one night.
I just don't even know what to do with that.
Like you said, Sheldon Russell's up there on a, you know, a nice price horse here, but Irad is coming in to ride this horse, and Irad seems to know how to win the big races with even with the young horses, with any horse. And this horse won, he's won at, what was it, Kentucky Downs on the turf. He won, you know, just third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. I mean, the history of this horse is just solid. Broke his maiden easily at Saratoga. I mean, these are just Keeneland. And he was, that race was at Keeneland, the Breeders' Cup, obviously. And then the springboard, I don't know what happened there. He was a huge favorite, just like he might be in this race. So, you know, you might want to, you know, do a box, a key box
thing on this thing. People don't know what I'm talking about. Put one horse over two horses and box it. Put the out-of-door, as Nick and I like, both weasels on this race. Sorry, Frank.
Yeah, well.
Don't forget about Michael Maker. He had a decent weekend a while back at Pimlico. He's got Mrs. Dream here as well. So if you want to drift off the track a little bit, I think there's an opportunity there with Kendrick Carmouche.
Yeah, that horse is okay. That horse won the Grade 3 Kitten's Joy. Did lose to Annex subsequently, but that horse is okay. You don't necessarily want to overlook that horse either. All right, that's the Penn Mile. So could be producing some runners for Colonial Downs later in the summer. Final thoughts here, Nick Kahn.
Yeah, great weekend of racing, a little bit better than we had last week. And, of course, Belmont Stakes weekend here in 8 days or so. That looks like that's going to turn out to be interesting. We won't have Derby winner, either of them, as it stands at the moment, whoever that might be. But Central Quality, Hot Rod Charlie, Known Agenda, Rock Your World, Ron Bauer, Bourbonic, Keep Me in Mind, all these horses we know at Triple Crown Rebels Romance opportunity. I thought I saw it. France Godina is still in it. Yeah, certainly. So they got plenty of runners up there in New York, and looking forward to talking about that next week.
Yeah, no, that'll be fun to talk to and talk about. So we'll see how that all shakes out. Derby Bill, final thoughts?
Yeah, it's a key three-year-old weekend with all these, with the Penn Mile and the Matt Wynn on dirt and with some of the Derby horses in that race. And then you got the regret for the Philly three-year-olds. So the three-year-old scene's coming into prominence here on the road to the Belmont Derby, the Virginia Derby, and the, what's a $2 million, what is it, the New York Belmont Fest on turf. Later this summer, July 4th, I believe it is. So, a lot of three-year-olds.
Yep. A
lot of three-year-olds trying to smoke some grass.
I tell you what, I mean, just kind of looking at the stakes calendar, do we need a racing czar or what? I mean, isn't Belterra, that's in Ohio, right?
Yep.
So Ohio has they have 5 stakes races on Friday night. Penn National has 4 stakes races on Friday night. Aren't those states like side by side? I don't know. Well,
I think those tracks are owned by the same company, actually.
I mean, can we get some of the scheduling out where we don't have to be on top of each other coming off of a week where, there was kind of a void of stakes racing? That part of racing is a little frustrating. It'd be great to see a czar put something together where we can get optimal use out of the racing calendar.
Well, tell you what, Nick, you can set the over-under on when a czar will come into power in racing, and I will take the over no matter where you set the over under.
That's good, because I probably won't have to pay you. None of us will be alive by that time.
Exactly right. Exactly right. All right. Derby Bill, Nick Kahn, thank you guys both so much. Coming up on Saturday, Off to the Races Radio, back at it on ESPN Richmond. Should be a fun show. We'll know a little bit more. We'll know if the Pimlico Pick 5 paid out, and we'll know who won the Penn Mile, and we'll have plenty of other stuff to talk about on Saturday, and then just a week after that, Belmont Stakes 2021. So thank you guys both very much. Thanks to everybody for listening. Follow all this stuff on theracingbiz.com all week long. Your independent voice for Mid-Atlantic Racing.